Enjoy.
WMFO Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there is no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Pre-recorded.
Thank you, Digital Henry. Good morning. It's the 10th of March, 2021. My name is Arthur, and you are listening to the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. I'm going to begin this week's program with an episode unknown. I was able to find it, you know, what episode number it was. It's an episode of The Green Hornet titled Words and Music. Had an original air date of the 30th of May, 1939. Thanks for listening.
The Green Hornet. He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies that even the G-men cannot reach. The Green Hornet. Words and Music. The events and characters depicted in this drama are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental.
Let successful radio, talkie, and recording artists show you the glamorous road to fame and fortune. Write the words and music for a song hit. Let the three J's, Joe, Jack, and Jim, do the rest. We publish and distribute. We guarantee to put your song in the hands of leading movie producers, orchestras, and radio stations. Get out of the rut. Write a song.
Yeah. How's that sound for an ad?
Joe, you ought to quit music publishing and go in for ad writing. That'll get them.
Sounds good, Joe. But you ought to have something about send for our free booklet and full details.
Oh, I got that here, right down at the bottom. Now, the idea is that we'll run this in all the cheap magazines with a blank to be sent in. We've fiddled around with this racket long enough. Now it's time to branch out.
That's the idea. Get into a nationwide business.
Hold on, Jack.
Hmm?
Maybe we should get a lawyer to look things over. We'll be using the mail, you know.
I talked to the lawyer, Jim. We aren't breaking any laws.
What about that line, submitting songs to radio stations, dance bands, and all that?
We will. We'll submit them. If they toss them in the wastebasket, that's not our worry.
Okay.
Another thing the lawyer said.
What's that?
We ought to protect each other. I got some contracts here, see?
Contracts for what?
We all sign them. It's a partnership agreement, so we don't break up.
Break up?
Yeah. Suppose one of us lands a job with a radio sponsor or something.
None of us could. You know that, Jake. We worked as a harmony trio. We're washed up as far as that stuff goes.
Maybe your pipes were never good for solo stuff, but Jim can do a good tenor.
Oh, not me. I'm with a publishing racket. There's big dough in it. And we don't have to worry about commercial contracts running out.
Just the same, we should have an agreement. If one of us pulls out or dies, the other two get his share of the work.
That's fair enough, Jake. Sounds all right to me.
I thought it'd be okay with you two. If we're going into big business, we might as well be organized right.
And what about this ad? Is it okay with you two to go ahead and run it?
Sure.
The sooner we get started, the sooner the dough will begin rolling in.
Yeah,
The advertising for the three J's was widely circulated throughout the country. And a few weeks later, cash came pouring into the publisher's office with every mail delivery. Hundreds of hopeful young people awaited the verdict of the Racketeer Trio, just as Waldo Fielding did.
Any mail for me today, Mother?
Yes, Waldo. There's a letter from that song publisher.
Where is it? Gee, I can hardly wait to hear what they say about my poem. Wouldn't it be swell if they put music to it and published?
There's the letter, Waldo.
Yours. If I could just get the start. Why, look at what some people make out of songs. I heard that sometimes a guy makes as much as... Ma!
What is it, Waldo?
They'll accept my poem.
They will?
Yeah, they like it. They'll have one of their best men write the tune, and then they'll publish it and see that it goes to all the radio stations and the movie studios and the dance bands. Oh, boy, I knew I could do it.
But, Waldo, won't they expect a lot of money for doing all that?
No. They say here that they'll take the chance on royalties. If I don't make anything, they won't make anything either. All I have to do is pay for the copyright and the printing cost and mailing.
But how much is that?
Well, I suppose it'll seem like a lot to you, Mom. It's about
$50.
But that's not much, really. Why, I'll bet a lawyer would charge almost that much just to get the copyright for me. And it might bring me in as much as $500,000.
But, Waldo, $50, we haven't got that
much. I'll get it. I'll sell my camera, and I can get something for my banjo. The chances are that Steve will pay a little for my shotgun. I'll get the money. Don't you worry about it, Ma. You just wait. I'll be rich one of these days. I'm going to start on another song poem right away.
Several more weeks elapsed, and Joe, Jack, and Jim found a veritable gold mine in their venture. They expanded in their advertising, moved into larger offices, and then one day...
Hey, Joe. Jack.
Yeah, Jim?
The Better Business people have been checking up.
So what?
They don't like our way of doing business.
Oh, they don't, huh? Well, isn't that too bad? What are they going to do about it?
They'll probably publish some warnings about us.
Ah, the suckers that send lyrics and tunes to us won't listen to warnings. They're so convinced that their stuff is good, they'll believe whatever they want to believe. That's the psychology of this business.
I'm just passing on what that bird from the business bureau told me. He claims we're running a racket.
It isn't a racket at all. We take a certain fee for publishing a song, agree to secure copyright, furnish a tune, a lyric, whichever is required, and have a certain number of copies printed and distributed.
And we do all those things.
Certainly. We fulfill our part of the contract to the letter. There isn't a law in the country that can touch us.
But it won't do us any good to have newspaper ads calling attention to our way of doing business.
Well, we can't stop it, can we?
Well, I thought if it was agreeable to you two, I'd make a few promises to stall things off for a while. We're really just getting a foothold.
An ad in a paper in one city isn't going to hurt us much. Our business is nationwide. Let them advertise. Can't hurt us.
Okay, Jack, it's up to you. And Joe?
I agree with Jack. Now, what about the tunes for this batch of stuff that came in today?
You got it all sorted according to meter, haven't you?
Yeah.
Okay, then let's have it. I'll wrap out a few little jingles and give them some music.
Seems to me it's kind of risky using the same tune for half a dozen different songs.
Nah, the stuff never amounts to anything. Nobody will ever hear it. What's the difference? I can't think of 150 new tunes every day.
You keep the stuff pretty well scattered, though, don't you, Jim?
Sure. For example, I use that tune, Moonlight Love, on the poem of a guy in New York, one in St. Louis, maybe one in Omaha, one on the West Coast. That saved me writing four different tunes, see?
It'd be kind of tough if the fellas ever got together and found they had the same tune.
Fat chance of that.
And what would happen if one of the songs became a hit?
A hit? That's a good one, Joe. How can any of this stuff ever be a hit? We'll see to it that it isn't.
I wanted to speak to you.
We're in conference.
What do you want here?
My name is Fielding. Waldo Fielding. I sent you a song a few weeks ago. Remember the name?
Sorry, Fielding. We're in conference now. We can't be disturbed.
I've been trying for 4 days to see you. I spent all my money.
What do you want to see us about, kid?
My song.
Did you get your copies of it?
Yes, sir, but I wondered if there hadn't been some sales made.
Mm. Where are you from?
Simmons Corners.
Well, what are you doing here in the big city?
Well, I thought my song would be selling, so I came here. I thought I might be able to do better if I was working closer with you.
You see the girl in the outer office and ask her to check up on the sales of your song. But I doubt if it's had any sales yet. You know, it takes time to put the new things over.
Well, I thought I might make a personal appearance with an orchestra or something.
We'll send for you when we want you for that, kid.
I did speak to the girl.
What'd she tell you?
She said that there hadn't been any sales yet.
Well, that's the answer then. Why don't you go back to Simmons Corners or wherever your home is and stay there till we send for you?
All right. Look, there must be some sales. If you sent that song out to all the people you claim you did, I haven't eaten in 2 days. I gotta have some money.
Well, what do you want us to do? Dish it out of our pockets? We're running a publishing house, not a traveler's aid.
Yes, sir.
We sent you 50 copies of the song. Why don't you go out in the street corner and try to peddle them or something? That's one way to drum up business.
Yes, sir. You want to buy a song? Say, mister, do you want to buy a copy of my song?
Not today.
Buy a copy of my song, lady.
Get out of my way, please.
Look, mister, do you want to take a copy of the newest song hit home?
Hey, you. What are you doing there blocking the traffic?
Oh, officer, I didn't mean anything.
What's this you're trying to peddle? Music?
Yes, sir. I'm trying to sell a song.
Maybe you'd better find out something about the laws of this town. You can't stand on street corners interfering with pedestrians, peddling music. Got a license?
License? No, sir, I haven't.
You'd better come down to the station house with me, I guess.
No. No, please, I didn't know.
Come on, kid. You can't get away with this sort of thing. Hey, suffering catfish, the kid's passed out.
What have you got there, Doyle?
Lowry, why is it that you're every place I am?
I learned when I first started in as reporter for the Sentinel, Doyle, that if I keep close enough to you, I see things happen. Yeah, what's the matter with the kid? You crown him with your nightstick?
No. I just started to take him in for peddling music on the street, and he passed out cold on me.
The kid looks half starved.
He does at that.
How long is it since he's eaten?
I don't know. Here, Lowry, stay with him till I call the wagon.
Yeah, maybe I'll get a story here. This looks like human interest stuff.
Ed Lowry, the star reporter of the Daily Sentinel, came into the office of the young publisher, Britt Reed, a couple of hours later. Miss Case, Reed's secretary, said...
Mr. Reed's not in now, Lowry.
But I gotta see him about a special story.
He's still out.
Where?
How the dickens do I know where he goes? I'm the last one he tells. It's discouraging.
Discouraging? Hey, now listen, Casey. Don't get ideas that the boss is interested in you. He travels with the 400.
Don't be idiotic.
As far as Britt Reed is concerned, you're just part of the office furniture.
But I do wish he'd settled down long enough so I could write to his father with some feeling of confidence.
And what's the trouble?
Oh, just as soon as I write Mr. Reed and tell him that Britt's taking an interest in the Daily Sentinel, he disappears.
Lady, if I had his dough, I'd never come to the office.
During the past week, he's been out to some affair almost every night. He's bored with the office again.
Well, he'll get his fill of nightlife and then settle down again.
Yes, until he gets his fill of the newspaper business again.
Oh, here he is. Say, boss, I ran into Doyle, the big cop, today.
Oh, yes?
And he had a kid in tow. The kid had passed out from hunger. But when Doyle spotted him first, he was trying to peddle a song he'd written.
A song?
And it ties right in with the racket we've been working on.
What racket was that, Lowry?
Music publishing. You know those wildcat publishers that call themselves Joe, Jack, and Jim, the three J's?
Who are they?
A broken-down vocal trio that hit a good racket. I got a first-hand story from one of the victims of the racket. The poor kid got just enough encouragement from them to quit his job and leave home. Here's the song he wrote. I brought a copy for you.
Well, leave it with Miss Case. I'll take it with me when I go home.
But what about my story? I got pictures of the kid.
Well, speak to the city editor about it. He's paid to handle that sort of thing.
But maybe there's editorial meat in it.
Gunnigan's the best judge for that.
Oh, hang it all.
What's the matter, Larry?
Well, look here, boss.
I don't... Gunnigan, Larry.
Okay. I'll take it to Gunnigan. There's the words and music.
Mr. Reed.
Yes, Miss Case?
I'm going to stick my neck out again. Isn't there something we can do to make the office more attractive for you?
Oh, no, it's quite all right, Miss Case.
Then why can't... Why won't you...
Oh, I understand, Miss Case. You're concerned again because I'm spending too little time around here.
Frankly, I am, Mr. Reed. I hate to keep writing your father that you...
I'm sorry. But you'll have to admit the newspaper work hasn't a great deal of adventure.
It might have.
Oh, yes, Miss Case, it might have.
There was plenty of excitement while the Green Hornet was so active.
There was, wasn't there?
I wonder if the Hornet has been killed.
Killed? Why, Miss Case?
We haven't had a story about a Hornet adventure in quite a while.
That's true.
He may have been killed, or he may have, well, retired.
I doubt if the Green Hornet would retire, Miss Case.
Well, perhaps then the police and public have been so greatly aroused that the Hornet doesn't risk making another appearance.
That's quite possible.
I never saw you more interested in the newspaper than while the Green Hornet was running wild.
Well, you must admit the Green Hornet furnished news.
He certainly did. Mr. Reed, there's just as much excitement in everyday life, if you could only realize it.
For example?
For example, that lad that Lowry tried to tell you about. Waldo Fielding. Now, there's human interest. Poor chap that falls for racketeers, quits his job in the little home community, comes to the big city, goes hungry, is misled and victimized by these fake music publishers.
Isn't there something the law can do about publishers of that sort?
If there were, the law would be doing it. But they stay inside the law, Mr. Reed. According to Lowry, they have a contract, and they fulfill the terms of the contract. So the law is helpless.
Yeah, I've heard about the racket, Miss Case.
Aren't you going into your office?
No, I think I'll leave for the day. It's after 4.
But, Mr.
I'll
Reed...
I'll take the song along with me just to satisfy Lowry.
Very well.
See you sometime tomorrow.
You will stop in then tomorrow.
Oh, yes, I'll probably stop in.
The Green Hornet would only start up again, and perhaps Britt Reed would become interested in the publication of news.
The curtain falls on the first act of our Green Hornet adventure. Before the next exciting scenes, please permit us to pause for just a few moments. Now to continue our story. Britt Reed went directly from his office to his apartment. He was uneasy and restless, and only Cato, his faithful valet, realized the real cause of the uneasiness.
You're right, Cato. I do feel handcuffed, hampered, tied down. If there were only some way the Hornet could get at this music publishing racket, I'd go out.
But the risk, Mr. Britt.
Risk be confounded. There's a risk in anything, Cato.
Yes, Mr. Britt.
We can't find any way it can be broken up. Not even if we do use the role of the Green Hornet to get at them.
Is it big?
It's nationwide. Those three crooks, Joe, Jack, and Jim, have thousands of people all over the country sending money to them. Money that won't bring a thing except false encouragement and heartbreak.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, look at tonight's Sentinel. Look at that warning from the Better Business Bureau. They wanted to buy a few inches. I gave them a quarter of a page. But do you think that'll stop people from being made victims? Not on your life. I even ran one of the songs, a typical song, copyrighted and published by Joe, Jack, and Jim, to show the stuff they called good. Cato, why haven't it just occurred to me?
What is it?
I have an idea, Cato. Life's going to be exciting after all. This may be the entering wedge. Maybe this is what the Green Hornet's been waiting for. Yeah, and for the Business Bureau, Cato. It shows a typical song published by that firm of Joe, Jack, and Jim.
Yes, Mr.
And the music for this is the same tune that was used by that young chap Lowry brought in a story about.
It is.
It definitely is. I don't know a great deal about music, but I do know that much. Do I have an engagement for tonight?
Very poor, Mr. Britt.
Cancel it, then. We're going to make other plans.
Where are they?
This may give me the lead I need to smash that publishing firm. Joe, Jack, and Jim. Well, we'll see if they're staying within the law.
Well, what can you do?
Do? Go to the office. I want to look around there for a while. And if my suspicions are correct, we'll hold a meeting of the firm.
The firm?
Joe, Jack, and Jim. Come on. We're taking out the Black Beauty.
Britt Reed went through a secret panel in the rear of his clothes press, and then by means of a passage between the walls of the apartment building, he reached a small door that opened into the loft of an old, supposedly abandoned livery stable. It was here, unknown to everyone, that the sleek black car of the Green Hornet was housed.
Is the car ready, Cato?
Yes, sir.
All right, get in. Mask?
Here, in compartment.
Gas weapon?
Here.
Good enough. I want to telephone Joe, Jack, and Jim, but I can do that from their own office later on this evening.
Yes, sir.
Now, let's get going. Watchman Cato, standing at the entrance to the building.
Yes, sir.
You take the car onto the rear. I'll handle him.
What are you going to do?
I'll have to knock him out and get him out of the way. Can't take chances on him. Take the car now. You know where to meet me?
I know.
Mm-hmm.
pulled low over his eyes, almost hiding the mask, the Green Hornet approached the entrance of the office building where a man stood smoking a pipe.
Offices are all closed now, mister.
I don't want to hurt you.
What have you done, Hornet?
That'll hold you for an hour. If I need more time, I'll give you some more gas.
Dragging the unconscious form of the watchman inside the building, the Green Hornet left him in a corner, then ran the elevator to the 10th floor. Half an hour later, the three J's had a phone call at their apartment.
I suppose that's just another one of these would-be writers calling for information on a song hit. Answer, Jack.
Hello?
I wish we'd given that feeling kid a little dough.
Oh, stop harping about him, Jim.
Well, yeah. Passing out in the street like he did, hunger, that won't do us any good.
Well, it won't hurt us any.
Yeah?
For the love of Pete, forget him. He just won.
Yeah.
He should have come to the city in the first place.
Maybe you're right, Joe.
That'll be swell.
Who's he got on the phone?
I don't know.
Looks as if it's something pretty good.
Yes, sir. Right away. Hey, fellas, we're set to really go places.
Who was that?
A publisher.
Publisher?
Magazine publisher. One of those cheap picture mags. He's in town for the evening and wants to talk to us about running a picture story of our business.
Yeah? Hey, that would be swell publicity.
Wouldn't it, though?
That'll offset what the Sentinelite has done.
More than offset it. It's a national magazine.
When do you see him?
Right away. He asked if I couldn't meet him in our office tonight.
Tonight?
Yeah, and let him see what sort of picture story could be run.
Good, we'll go with you.
Yeah, come on, let's start. This is the break of a lifetime.
Joe, Jack, and Jim rushed in a cab to their office building and found the front door open.
The watchman must be on the first floor.
Yeah, that'll save us waiting for the elevator.
Hey, Larry! Where are you?
He isn't on the first floor. The elevator just coming down now.
You shouldn't leave the front door open like that.
Don't worry about it.
Well, Larry...
You're covered.
What in blaze?
Mask!
The Green Hornet!
One of you can run this elevator. Get in there or I'll fold you up where the night watchman is.
You killed him. Murder.
Get aboard.
Don't shoot. Don't shoot.
Well, what are you after?
Up to your office. Get going now. The 10th floor, you know.
Stop waving that gun around.
I'll stop by letting you have it at the first sign of any rough stuff.
I'll shoot.
Take it. Oh, Jim.
Let that warn you two.
Oh, shot him in cold blood.
Yeah. How do you like it? Leave here right where he is. You open that door and get to your office.
What are you going to do?
You'll find out. Step along there.
There's a light there.
I left it. You needn't think about the magazine publisher because I was the one who phoned you. I took the liberty of using your own telephone.
I have keys.
You won't need them. I've unlocked the door and everything else that needs unlocking.
Now what?
Sit down in there.
What's all this stuff?
Your so-called song hit.
Yeah, I see.
A couple of them have possibilities, haven't they, Jack?
Why, sure they have.
Suppose the Green Hornet were to steal one of them. Not just suppose there would be a lot of publicity about the Green Hornet shooting two men, maybe more, to get possession of one specific song. What would happen to the sale of that song?
See, that's right.
It would become the hit of the week. Every band would use it, every radio station would be featuring it in a song and bring thousands and thousands of dollars in royalties.
Maybe we can make a deal.
Before I finish talking to you, crook, you won't want that sort of thing to happen.
What?
Why not?
Look here, Hornet.
Your tower gonna be broke. You're going to be smashed to a finish.
Broke?
Smashed? I've already addressed a few envelopes, and I'll see that the rest are addressed. There they are. Take a look at them.
I don't understand.
You will. Take a look at those three sheets of music I've laid out for you.
What about
her? Who wrote that music?
We did. What of it?
And who secured copyrights?
We did.
See, every one of these songs can be made into a hit tune with the right promotion. I think I can see that it gets that promotion. I've already explained how.
Well, a hit is what...
You can't afford a hit. Suppose, for example, this number becomes a hit. What do you suppose the authors of these other songs with the same music would do? They'd sue, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they'd probably sue.
There were probably a dozen other poets who've been given the same melody for their song. They'd all start lawsuits. You two'd be dragged through every court in the country. Your whole racketeering business would be laid out in the open. Can you stand having a sensational song hit?
I don't know.
No, you can't. That's why I came here.
It was a mistake.
That's it. It was a mistake.
Mistake?
The printers made a mistake. They got the words and music.
That's true, Sam. I could go through your files and show you plenty of the same sort of mistakes. Sit down at that desk.
What do you want?
Money. Lots of money. There's your checkbook. I happen to notice your bank balance there. You can write a lot of checks.
Checks?
I said checks.
For who?
Make out the first to Harvey Dale. D-A-L-E. According to your records, he's paid in $150. That's the amount you'll send him.
And who else?
Start writing.
I'll do it.
Oh, no, we'll have Jack do it. He's the one whose signature makes those checks worth something. Go on now, start writing.
Now, you see here.
Right.
How far are you going?
As far as your bank balance will allow. There's 200 to go to Mrs. Hagnew, 100 to each of the people on this list, 75 to these people. And there's a list of those who'll get $50 each.
I'll be broke. I can't afford all that.
You can't afford not to pay up. You'll afford it a whole lot better than these people contributed to your success. And there's another thing, Jack.
Robin Steele.
Shut up! Instead, there was another thing. We may have to overdraw your bank account considerably.
I can't.
You better convert some of the bonds you hold to cover the checks you make out tonight.
I can't.
You might even have to trade in some life insurance. If you don't cover those checks, you'll mighty soon find yourself not only in court, but eventually in jail. What would a jury made of people who read all about your racket in the magazines and newspapers give you? Take your choice, Rat. Go broke and stay free, or go broke and go to jail. And make out checks until you get the writer's cramp. And see that those checks clear the bank.
By first one threat, then another, the Green Hornet compelled the publisher to make out checks to refund money. And then...
That's as far as your cash will go. I'll see to it that these envelopes are mailed.
You can't get away with it.
No? Now let me explain that I can still make one of your songs a hit. The song that Jim gave his life to keep from the Green Hornet. A song that has some hidden significance to the Green Hornet. One small bit of the song torn and found in the clenched fist of the latest victim of the Hornet's weapon.
But Jim...
I'm taking him with me. I know whether or not those checks go to the bank. If they don't, Jim will be found with this emblem plastered to his forehead. The mark of the Green Hornet. And this part of this song... clenched in his fist.
Wait. If we don't stop payment, if those checks go through...
Then you'll have nothing but poverty to worry you. And don't try another racket like this one. The Green Hornet can make one of your songs a hit at any time. Only the next time, it might be one of you who furnishes the clenched fist.
Leaving the two racketeers in their office, the Hornet took the elevator to the first floor, dragged the still unconscious man to the rear door of the building, and put him into the car.
That'll do, Cato.
What do we do with him?
We'll have to keep him under cover and at least checks clear the bank. And then, Cato, we can let him go.
Have you heard the news?
Which news? That feeling kid got a refund from Joel, Jack, and Jim. That's news.
Yes, and the mark of the Green Hornet was on the letter that went with it.
Yeah, that's a page one story. The Hornet has stepped out again. I wish I had all the details.
But that's not the biggest thing. Mr. Reed was in bright and early this morning. He's a newspaper man again. He's been working like a Trojan all day, trying to run down some leads on the Hornet from what information he gathered.
He is?
Yeah, but it won't last. I'm certain that he'll lose interest again if the Green Hornet goes back into seclusion.
But what if the Green Hornet was to be captured?
I'm afraid Britt Reed would lose interest in the Sentinel in that case, too.
Sentinel paper! Green Hornet mails check! Exclusive Green Hornet story! Green Hornet not large, but...
Coping 19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
Managing today's uncertainty can be overwhelming. We crave security, and it's
at the gallop!
Laramie.
Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier, the saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire, and the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Feels good, don't it?
You got the whole day, Harrison?
Oh, I'm moving, Sergeant.
Well, that mount will chill and die of pneumonia. You don't rub them brisk and get some elbow grease behind it.
Yes, sir, Sergeant. Why you suppose he does it, Sergeant?
Who does what?
Captain Quince. Up for reveille he was, and off and riding.
Habit, maybe. It was a clean morning, had a feel to it. Riding off alone, I'd like that myself.
There's a touch of spring in there, all right. Buffalo grass as green as can be. I was down at the corral this morning, and even at low water, the old Laramie was rippling along like it had a song in it.
Harrison.
Yes, Sergeant?
You think you could manage to blanket that mount before you write your next poem?
Oh, I guess I'm holding you up.
Captain says he threw a nail. I told him I'd see the farrier got a look at it.
Right forefoot, looks like. I meant to see to it.
I got business at the saddlery anyway.
Sergeant, I'd sure admire some outdoor duty today, if you could arrange it.
Stable detail, sort of outdoors, Harrison. In and out.
I was thinking more like the hay yard, or lending a hand in the post garden, or like that. I'd be obliged.
Anything outdoors?
Anything at all, Sergeant.
You see up there on the bluff by the old cemetery?
I'm looking that way.
That white patch, top of the rise?
Oh, sure, I see that.
Well, now, that's a patch of wild daisies, Harrison. Anybody asks, you tell them you got my leave to go up there and pick them.
Oh, Sergeant!
It's outdoor work.
I don't aim to get myself laughed right off this post.
It'd be a useful service you was performing, Harrison. Officers are having a fancy ball tonight at Old Bedlam. Well, they might give a stripe or two to the trooper who saw to their decorations.
I tell you, Sergeant, I like this stable detail just fine. More I think of it, more I like it.
Glad to oblige. Anytime, Harris.
Now, get me 3 stripes someday. Like as not, I'll mosey all over the post, too, on a fine spring day.
I could make them daisies in order, Harrison.
Why, look down there, Sergeant Gorse. Ain't that a stage coming over the bridge?
It is. Well, he's riding on a flat wheel.
Yeah, maybe that's why he's pulling into the fort this time of day.
Being the wheelwright so near the smithy and the saddlery, I'll just mosey on down there and see what's going on. Give me that lead rope, soldier.
No, here.
Get to your duty, Daisy.
Oh, yes, Sergeant.
What do you mean we'll have to put up here for the night? This is an army post. Now, Ophie, settle yourself this minute. There's nothing but men here.
Now, ma'am, there ain't a stage built that'll run on 3 wheels.
But an army post? Why, we're women.
Be that as it may, we gotta put up here. It took all I had and then some to bring us clean to the fort. Now, the wheelwright tells me he can put us on the trail by sunup, and that's the level best we can do.
I declare, I don't know what. Homer off there in Virginia City, Waiting for Ophie and me?
Well, you could maybe telegraph ahead if you think your husband will worry after you.
Well, I don't know what to make of you. Of course he'll worry. Homer's bound to worry. His wife and baby girl spending the night in the middle of nowhere at an army post.
Oh, Ma.
Ophie, if you Ma me once more, I'll bang you with my umbrella.
Oh, but there's one, Ma, coming right up to us.
One what?
A soldier, Ma.
Sergeant Gorse.
Stand right behind me, Ophie.
Wheelwright says you got trouble, Clay.
Yeah, all kinds, Sergeant. Meet up with Mrs. Kleinhexel. Her daughter, Miss Ophie, Sergeant Gorse.
Ma'am? Miss Ophie?
Are you in charge here, young man?
Well, no, ma'am. Not exactly.
Then I demand to be taken to whoever is. I want to telegraph Homer. I want to see with my own eyes the quarters for my daughter and me.
Homer,
and
ma'am?
That's Mr. Kleinhexel. He's in Virginia City.
Oh.
Are you listening to me, young man?
Why, yes, ma'am. I just... Clay, where are you going?
Well, I'm pretty sure that wheelwright needs a hand. I sure thank you for taking over this way, Sergeant. Well,
hey, now, Clay, you...
We've had no food since breakfast, young man. That'll have to be taken care of. Now, those carpet bags over there are ours, and they were brand new when we left Omaha. So, mind you, tend them easy. Who did you say was in charge here?
Well, I didn't say, ma'am, but offhand, I'd say you was.
Ophie, simmer down.
And I just wondered if you were in my position, what would you do, Captain?
What?
What would you do?
I'm afraid I haven't been listening, Mr. Syberts. I'm sorry. What would I do about what?
Would you go alone if you didn't have a young lady to escort? To the officer's ball tonight.
Oh, good Lord, I'd forgotten about that.
It's the first one since I've been here.
If you're smart, you'll get up a poker game. You could play right here in my quarters if you want.
Well, I was rather looking forward to the ball.
I'd sooner ride into an ambush.
You know, it's hard to picture in your mind a ball right here in Old Bedlam. It doesn't seem part of the West somehow.
It shouldn't be part of it. Yeah. Want a cigar, Syberts?
No, thank you, sir. Captain, you don't talk like you're planning to attend this evening.
I'm not.
You sure?
Mr. Syberts, the last ball I attended was on an order. Besides, I have some work I want to do tonight, if I can get the Major's permission.
Well, I don't know, and it's your business, all right, sir, but she thinks you're going to the ball.
She?
Miss Willa. I was over at the Sutler store this morning, and Mr. Burgess gave me his leave to ask Miss Willa to the ball.
Well?
But she means to go with you, Captain.
I don't know why. I didn't ask her.
She seems right sure you will, though, before the day's out.
Oh?
She seems content just to wait for you.
Miss Willa's a pretty thing. She makes a mistake, though, waiting for anyone.
Captain, I wouldn't have asked her, but there aren't many single ladies to choose from.
I've got no claim on Miss Willa, Mr. Syberts, if that's what you mean.
No, it's more her claim I was thinking about. She sat on you, Captain Quince.
That's a pure waste. Who is it?
Captain Quince, Lieutenant Syberts.
Major Daggett.
Sir.
As you were, gentlemen, this isn't exactly official business.
Yes, sir.
I just looked in the ballroom on the way up. Looks like things are taking shape for tonight.
Yes, sir, they are. Mrs. Daggett and the other wives are doing a fine job with the decorations.
Well, they enjoy that sort of thing. It's time we had some festivity around here.
Yes, sir.
That what you came to tell us, Major?
I expect to see you both there, Captain Quince.
There's something I want to talk to you about, Major.
Both of you there. I don't know whether you've heard yet or not, but we have some guests on the post. Mrs. Kleinhexel from Omaha and her daughter. Their stage broke down. They'll be with us overnight.
The daughter, sir.
What about her, Mr. Syberts?
Well, sir, in the interest of showing Fort Laramie's hospitality, what I mean is, if she's not otherwise engaged, I'd be proud to see her to the ball tonight.
I think that's a good idea, Syberts.
I would like to discuss something, Major.
Yeah, so would I, Captain Quince.
Then if you'll excuse me, Major, Captain.
Mr. Seibert, you'll find the young lady and her mother quartered next to the sutler's store.
Yes, sir.
Well, Lee?
If we can forget that pink tea a while, Major.
I told you, Lee, I expect you at that ball tonight. This is no mere whim of mine, and if I have to order you to be there, I will.
We're not going to see eye to eye on that ever.
You understand all about troop morale in the field. I never knew an officer to show greater concern for his men. But I think you owe something to your fellow officers, Captain.
What do you mean?
There's such a thing as post-morale, too. The junior officers admire you. They respect you. It'll mean something to them to see you sharing their off-duty entertainment. Relaxation. You're a hard man to know, Lee.
Especially in a ball.
I wouldn't insist if I didn't think it was important.
I've been trying to tell you what I think's important ever since you came in.
All right.
Yellow Horse. He's still in the stockade.
Yes, I know that. But I can't send him to Leavenworth till I receive orders from Washington. So far, they haven't come through.
Can't you telegraph Washington?
In an emergency.
His renegade band of Sioux is still marauding.
Tell me, does this have any connection with the fact that you left the post alone before Reveille this morning?
I rode out to the reservation. Had a long talk with Eagle Wing.
I hope he understood it was unofficial, Captain.
Eagle Wing and I talked only as men interested in peace.
Well, at least he isn't a hostile. And no great friend of Yellow Horse, as I remember.
He says a few of Yellow Horse's old band have come onto the reservation in the last few weeks. That could mean trouble, Major.
A few hostiles on a reservation of 4,000? I don't think so, Captain.
I'm not talking about a Sioux uprising. I'm talking about maybe six hostiles thinking to set Yellow Horse free.
Eagle Wing said this?
I say it. It could happen.
Suppose it could. I don't think it's likely.
I do. This band's never had a leader like Yellow Horse. Never killed for gain or because the whites invaded his hunting grounds. He killed to kill because he loved to kill. He's their inspirational leader. They'll come after him.
All right, Lee. What is it you want?
Move Yellow Horse.
Move him?
Yeah, over to Fort Kearney. Small details starting at dusk.
I don't like it, Lee.
He'd be that much closer to Leavenworth.
No, I can't risk it. I'm on orders to secure Yellow Horse at Fort Laramie. I'd need more reason than you give me to go against him.
Then I've said my piece, Major.
Lee, you feel pretty keenly about this. Why?
Maybe it's not important.
I asked you a question.
All right. Call it a symbol. We could have killed him when we took him. But we held something out to the Indians. A fair trial. White man's justice.
Yellow Horse was tried fairly.
And sentenced fairly. The Indians know that. Yellow Horse should pay for his killing. Legally. If an escape is arranged, even if he's killed in the attempt, he's a martyr to every red man because a white man killed him.
Sure, I don't disagree with any of that, Lee.
But your answer is still the same.
It has to be. My orders are clear. I have to respect them. I wish I could count on your understanding.
I wish I could give it to you, Major.
All right, Captain. We both had our say. Now let's forget it. I'd like you to join my party this evening.
That an invitation, sir?
That is an order, Captain.
Yes, sir.
Well, I wouldn't have believed it. It's a regular store.
Yes.
I declare, Mr. Burgess, it's the equal of anything we have in Omaha.
Oh, yes, it is. Chicago, New York, Boston. Pliny Burgess bows to no one when it comes to merchandise.
Now, this bolt of cloth. Ophie, just look at the quality.
Those threads. Pure gold, madam. Pure gold.
Why, there are no such thing.
Well, in color, I mean. Yes, pure gold.
Oh. Well, yes. I see they are.
Oh, no!
Ophie, will you stop clutching me so?
Look, Ma. Oh, it's another one.
Oh, my. Well, he's just another soldier, Ophie. You'd best get used to the sight of them. They're all over out here.
Afternoon to you, Captain Quince.
Miss Willow around, Pliny?
To the back, with the account books, as usual, Captain.
Thank you.
My sakes, he's a big one.
Yeah, oh, yes, he is.
Oh, now, Ophie, you stop making eyes this minute. You've been spoke for by that other one, and he's a lieutenant.
Lovely girl. Shy, but she's a lovely girl.
Miss Willa.
Well, yes.
Hello, Lee.
Hello.
Well, come on in.
If you're busy, why, we can forget about it.
Oh, you'll not get off that easy. I'm not busy, and I've been expecting you.
You shouldn't wait for me, Willa. You know that.
Sit down, Lee.
Thanks.
I don't wait for you. As you say, I know better than that. I wait for Major Daggett.
How's that?
Sooner or later, he always orders you to attend the ball. And when he does, sooner or later, you decide you'd rather escort me than dance with rank and officers' wives the entire evening.
That the way it is?
I'm afraid so. But that's not a complaint. I'll be ready at 8.
All right.
Well, don't look so trapped, Lee. You're not, you know.
I wasn't thinking about me.
Don't worry about me, I understand. It's a lovely day. It'll be a lovely evening, Lee.
Yeah. It looks like Mr. Seibert's is going to have a lovely evening, too.
Oh, poor Ophie.
Poor Seibert's. You could have spared him that if you'd accepted him instead of waiting around for...
For Major Daggett.
Yeah. Yeah, for Major Daggett.
Oh, my God!
Good heavens, what...
Get him out of here! Savages, it's not safe! Savages!
Madam, please.
Get him out!
You're perfectly safe, madam. No.
Me no do nothing. Walk in store, do nothing.
We'll be killed. We'll all be killed.
What's wrong out here?
Oh, Ma, I got an awful fright.
Get him out! Here.
Take the girl, will
you? Come along, Ophie. It's all right.
Yes, tell her it's all right, Captain. It's the engine. She's not used to the sight of him.
Captain, white woman, bad spirit.
No white bird. She's just frightened.
White bird frightened, too. Him do nothing.
He walked in here. Big as life. That's what he did. Right in the store, mind you, like he was a
human being?
Yes. Like he was a human being.
Is that all he did?
Well, yes. But if I hadn't cried the alarm, we'd have all been massacred. That's what they do, you know.
White bird go. Come later to trade.
Well, now, you bring silver and more blankets, White Bird?
No. Trade for food. Come back later when bad spirit and white woman go.
Well, I never. You people dealing with him, trading like he was a...
He's a reservation Indian, ma'am. He's all right.
Oh, yes. I would like to look at what he has to offer, Captain.
Well, go on into the storeroom. Make your trades.
Yes, sir.
Go on. It's all right, White Bird.
Why, of course. Come on, White Bird. Come on.
And see you trade him fair, Pliny.
Oh, I'm the soul of honor, Captain.
Yeah. You, feel better, ma'am?
Well, you've done nothing to make me feel better. I see you're mighty solicitous about your savage in there. But not so much as a kind word for a frightened white woman.
Sorry, ma'am. We know White Bird. He's our friend. We've lived with him. But we've no mind to be unkind to strangers.
You mean to say that Indians have the run of this fort, young man?
Some Indians, the ones we know and trust. Ones who trust us. You'll find that in the West.
But what about all the killing? The massacres, that's all you hear in Omaha and near all you read. How many whites the red savages have murdered. Now I say that's true or it isn't.
Some of it is, ma'am. Indians are like us. There's good and bad. We've got a bad one on the post, Yellow Horse. But he's in the stockade.
That's as it should be. You think that, don't you?
I think that.
Well, it's a pity you can't tell by looking.
Ooh. You can sometimes if you know what to look for. But that comes with knowing, folks. White men or red men.
At face value. It's a risky business, young man. Many's the time I've been dead wrong in judging a body on first sight, I mean. Of course, I'm talking about white folks.
You planning to live in the West, ma'am?
Virginia City. Homer's out there now. Ophie and me are going to him. Sakes, I guess I got a lot of learning ahead of me. A lot of learning.
Sergeant? Over here, Sergeant.
Oh, yes, sir. Captain?
Finished eating, Gores?
Yes, sir. Ate plenty, too. Good thing I got no bars on my shoulders. I'd be right too stuffed to waltz tonight.
That so?
Fine spring evening for a flock of fancy waltzes, though.
All right, Sergeant, you're making your point.
Yes, sir.
You, got any plans for tonight after tattoo?
Oh, I drew some duty, Captain.
Duty?
Kind of special duty, too. Orders come down from Major Daggett to double the guard at the stockade. Well, I figured you'd know that.
No. No, I didn't.
Ain't they sending Yellow Horse on to Leavenworth before long?
That's up to Washington.
Yeah. Sure got a lot of time back there, ain't they, Captain?
Seems like it. Sometimes.
You have something you wanted me to do tonight?
No. No, nothing.
Well, before I told you about the duty, you asked about my plans, Captain.
You answered my questions.
Yes, sir.
That's all, Sergeant.
If anything comes up at the stockade, I'll see you hear about it, sir.
You'll report to Major Daggett.
Yes, sir.
Good night, Gores.
Captain?
Yeah?
It's a right smart sash you're wearing.
Good night, Gores.
Yes, sir.
Been trying to get your attention for the last half hour, Lee.
Who has?
Mrs. Kleinhexel, and you haven't even asked her to dance yet, either.
I know, but I...
Shh, here she comes.
Excuse me, you two, but I've got to have word to this young man. I'm sending the lieutenant to dance with you, dearie.
Captain Quince was just on his way over to you, Mrs. Kleinhexel. I'll find Lieutenant Syberts.
Well, shall we, Captain?
Proud to, ma'am.
I could waltz with a glass of water on my head and never spill a drop. That's what Homer always says.
You try it with me, ma'am. You stand a chance of drowning.
Oh, there's good humor in you, young man. I like that.
Thank you.
Oh.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I wanted to tell you, I went out on the veranda for a breath of air a while back. And when I first saw them, I came near to screaming like I did this afternoon with the other Indian.
You're developing a real eye for Indians, ma'am.
Yes, I am. I've been trying to recollect, though. I don't believe he was wearing them in the store today.
White Bird? Wearing what?
The feathers.
No, ma'am, he wasn't wearing feathers.
I didn't think so. Now, these Indians was. Well, maybe it suits their fancy.
You're sure they were wearing feathers?
I just told you. There was five or six, I guess.
Excuse me, ma'am. I have to speak to the major.
Now, what's wrong with feathers?
Major Daggett, sir! Where are those shots coming from, Captain? That's a stockade, Major. Syberts! Lawson! Let's go!
Six of them. All dead, Sergeant?
Dead engines, Captain. Good thing you doubled the guard, Major.
What about Yellow Horse?
Oh, he was whooping for a while. But I checked him. He's got his health, all of it.
Captain.
Yes, sir?
Fall into detail. I want Yellow Horse on his way to Leavenworth no later than noon tomorrow. Any questions?
Just one, sir. What about Washington?
I'll telegraph Washington tonight. Oh, Captain.
Yes, Major.
Thank you.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by Kathleen Height, with sound patterns by Bill James and Ray Kemper, musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Jeanette Nolan, Sam Edwards, Eleanor Tannen, Harry Bartell, Jack Moyles, Shirley Mitchell, Howard McNear, Frank Cady, and Jack Crucian.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
That was episode 12 of Fort Laramie, Stagecoach Stop, starring Raymond Burr. An original air date of the 15th of April, 1956. My name is Arthur, and you've been listening to The Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. This show was pre-recorded. Thanks for listening.
Due to COVID-19, WMFO DJs are pre-recording their shows for broadcast on air. We can still accept phone calls, but the phone line is in voicemail mode. Call 855-915-9636 and be sure to leave the DJ's name in the voicemail so we can forward it to the correct person. The following program was recorded earlier. Enjoy.